Okay. I just want to go to one scripture. And I guess it goes a little bit what we said here. Because in the times we live in, and what we hear, what we see, what's going on around us in many, many different ways, and they're all valid, and they're all good, you know, a truthful thing. Listen, the devil has many, 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 many different attacks and many, many different strategies, as we know. What he has for you, I don't know. But just be ready for it. What he has for me, I want to know. I'm just going to be ready for it. But it may be different. Because, he's the devil. And he does his job well. I'm not commending him, but he does his job well. Unfortunately, we as Christians don't do our job well. But that's another story for another day. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 55 real quick. But it's most important. I'm very thankful that we got to that thought of that God. How many of you do believe? We said that Melchizedek was the high priest of the Most High God. That's found in Genesis chapter 14, I think it's verse 9 or something like that. When Abraham went to Melchizedek and then actually gave him tithes and gave it to him. And it says Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And that translation in the Hebrew is El Elyon, which literally means Most High God. And the term Most High God means Sovereign God. What does the word sovereign mean?
Supreme final authority.
A supreme and final authority. A little bit more. It's okay, that's like Lord, but this is greater than Lord. Okay? So but it's part of the definition. You're absolutely correct. So it is. But it even surpasses the term Lord. Supreme and final authority. What else does it come from? Yes?
Provincial superintendents.
Okay, a provincial. Okay.
I'm just going to say he's everywhere.
Okay, so he's omnipresent, omniscient. Okay.
Supreme ruler.
Supreme. The word supreme is very important in there. But there's one other thing that's really, really important about the term sovereign. And the thing that we have to remember is that a sovereign, now you've heard of the term sovereign because we've heard of it in the natural. Many kings declare themselves sovereign and all this other stuff, right? Unfortunately, we've gotten a bad taste of what that means because most of those kings were sovereign tyrants, okay? And they were very harsh and tyrannical to the people. So we get a kind of a bad little taste in our mouth when we talk about sovereignness. But the term sovereign, used in the way God, and it's supposed to be used by God, is the supreme, absolute, final, supreme, final authority, all of those things, supreme things. But the most important aspect is that a sovereign acts independently without any outside influence. Did you get that?
Yeah.
A sovereign God acts independently without any outside influence, which means our God is a sovereign God, which means he knows the end from the beginning from the end. He knows everything that will happen and everything that's going to happen. He knows that. He's a sovereign God and nothing will change his plans.
Right.
We have to line up with his plans.
Right.
Otherwise, we take over the throne of sovereignness in our lives. If God is your sovereign God, then Isaiah chapter 55 is really important to you. Okay, so I just said the sovereign God, and I've talked about this a lot, and actually we talked about it in Integrity House a little bit and whatnot, and so you guys find, because to me, this is lost in the body of Christ these days. The sovereignness of God. We have the audacity to think that we can tell God what he needs to do. I don't like that. Change it. Thank God he didn't change anything. Listen, the disciples got a big, big awakening or awakening. They all knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was not going to die. He was wrong when he told them that. Peter says, you're not going to die. After he just said, you're the Son of the Most High God, you're the Christ. He says, and then he said, you're not, I'm the biggest shot. Jesus said, I knew everything. I'm not going to die. You're not going to die, Jesus. And then what did Jesus do? Rebuked the spirit behind that. Even when Jesus said it, they didn't believe it. Even when Jesus went into the Jerusalem on that wonderful day of the triumphant entry, Peter, I always say, Peter kind of was looking back with the donkey saying, see, I told you, man, you were wrong. These guys love you, man. We're going to take, where's my room in the palace right now? We're going to take over this city, and you're going to be the king. Even at the very time of the Last Supper, Peter was ready to take the sword. Even at the time of the garden, Peter took up a sword because I know, Jesus, this is the hour now for us to do this. And then Jesus said, no, you got it all wrong, guys. You got it all wrong. Put away your sword.
Right.
This is how it's going to happen.
Right.
And what did they do? Their hopes and dreams and everything they thought went to pot. They were shattered in many ways. In many ways. And we're not going to go all into those things. But it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out. They had a preconceived idea, and they thought it was going to be that way. And they even probably prayed. And every Jew, and even the high priest, and every priest, well, not about the high priest, but every Pharisee, because the high priests were somebody different. They were really Sadducees, and that's another story. But priests and people that really had a heart for God were praying for Messiah to come. And he was going to come the way they thought he was going to come. Here comes Jesus, and it was not the way that they thought this was Messiah supposed to come. So they disregarded him. But God says this in Isaiah chapter 55, well-known scripture for us all, but it goes back to the sovereignty of God, that God has everything planned. Even if we don't understand it, God has everything planned. I'm going to start at verse 6 to give us a little bit of a running thing in there, and then we'll close it up fast. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord our God. And he will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. So Isaiah is saying and talking about God. And talking about what the wicked needs to do. But then he says this. And why is he saying all that? He's saying this in verse 9. From my thoughts, now this is God speaking. Okay? Not anybody, not Isaiah speaking, not anybody. Not, he says, from my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Right.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Right.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Amen.
For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and makes it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Again, he's saying, he's talking to them in an agricultural way, something they would understand, that this is what happens naturally. This is a natural progression, so understand this is the way it is. I'm telling you, just like the seed is sown and it grows, well, God's ways are higher than your ways. And his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And then he goes on to say the scripture. So shall my word.
Amen.
Whose word?
His word.
His word. Not my word. Not your word. His word. So shall my word be that goes forth out of whose mouth? God's mouth. It shall not return unto me void. We love this scripture. So we speak his word. And it will not return unto me void. But we forget the next part. Because I am confessing. I'm going to the confessional right now. Okay, if you're Catholic, you understand what I'm talking about. If you were. Okay? I'm confessing. I'm confessing to all you priests out there, because you're all a bunch of priests. Okay? that, you know what, I used to take this and leave it at that. And so I wanted something to happen, and so I prayed God's word, and I wanted it to be done according to what I saw it should be done. And it wasn't. What happened? Well, you didn't pray the word right, Ray. Or there's sin in your life, Ray. Well, you know, you didn't pray the word right. Guilt, condemnation. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I told you this once before. Well, my first wife passed away. I had Christians come up to me and tell me I didn't pray right. I could have kicked them in the teeth. I should take off my Christianity. I'm a heathen. Come here. Okay. Or they told me, your wife didn't have enough faith. You might have had faith, but she didn't.
Oh, my.
That was even worse. I could have, yeah. Or let's get up now and give the devil a black eye. All of that. And to be honest with you, I almost fell apart. I did. What happened, God? Did you ever ask that? I prayed the scriptures. I prayed your word. What happened? Then God woke me up and said, you forgot the last half of the scripture. Because God is a sovereign God. He says, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We pray God's word thinking how it should come out.
Right. Come
on. We can do that. That is not wrong. However, if it doesn't, my thought is, okay, God, your ways are not my ways. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts. They're higher than me. But you know what, God? And this is where I lacked when I got angry at God. But now I'm at a place where after God showed me that scripture and some other things. But now, God, you know what? I trust you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My trust is in you.
Amen.
It might not have looked like or turned out the way I thought it should. Now, I'm not coming against you. We do need to pray.
Right.
But what I'm telling you is that just know that God has everything under control.
Right.
And that God is a sovereign God and knows what he's doing, and I trust him that he does. Yeah. Now, that's I know that's a little bit different. I know that's sometimes coming against the grain of certain things. So I'm not coming against praying the word over situations. I'm not coming against praying spiritual warfare. I'm not coming against any of those things. You need to do those things. It's okay to do those things. But I made the horrible mistake of saying and thinking, I have faith in the prayers that I pray.
Oh my.
God woke me up one day. Excuse me. So you have faith in the prayers you pray? What about the one you're praying to?
Right.
Where is your faith in how good you pray? And how well you know the word? Or is your faith in me?
Right.
Is your trust in me?
Right.
And God is looking for people that, you know, we always say we trust God. And we always say that God is looking for people that he can trust. With ministries and different things. That's good. But I say, God is looking for people he can trust who will trust him. That's people he trusts. That you trust him no matter what.
Yes.
That's faith. Listen, I have people tell me, and I could have, again, the people, the martyrs, and that unfortunately got killed, head chopped off. Never happened here in America because we got faith. Again, take my Christianity off. Where do you think like that? We have this mindset because we think it's not happening. But look at what's going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
We stand as children of the Most High God. And I believe God protects us, and I believe in that. But when something happens, when it goes opposite of what you think it's going to happen, where do you go? And that's what's going to cause a lot of the falling away. Because their faith is in all of these things instead of the one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the relationship of oneness with Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you think Jesus wanted to do that whole thing on the cross? Listen, even Jesus said, if it be your will, get this away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will.
Amen.
So I want us to be clear. I believe in praying the Word of God. I believe in if we have a situation, we look at it and we pray it. And yes, if the Lord gives us wisdom on how, you know, we should pray, pray it. No problem. I believe that. I believe in faith. I believe in all those things. Using the Word, I believe, like I said, we were talking spiritual warfare. I believe in all of those things. I just also believe in the one who knows more than I do. And will not cast away my confidence when it doesn't work out the way I think it was going to. That's all. Agree or disagree, but I want you to agree on one thing. Put your total, total trust in God.
Amen.
And I say to you, can God trust you to trust Him? If you get that. Because a lot of people don't trust God, but He's looking for people. He wants to trust you and trust in you to trust Him.
Yes.
Will you trust me? Will you stay with me? Jesus says, you know, don't you see? Do you trust me? Do you trust me?
Mm-hmm.
That's faith. So all those things that we think, you know, can God trust you with the ministry? Wonderful, wonderful. And that's a whole different type of a trust. But God, deep down, as far as relationship and oneness concerned, is that He's saying, can I trust you to really trust me? That when things hit the fan, and they will, it might not be in the big, just in you personally, in your personal life, it will. Do you trust me? Do you trust that I am a sovereign God? That your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher. That's why He's up there, and He can see the end.
Amen.
You know, I used to do something when I used to teach a class. I don't know if any of you guys were in that class. But I used to have the guys get on their knees and look around. Then I would have them, I don't know, I can't sit on the chair. Can I step on the chair? Put tissue down. And look up. And you know what? You see things differently.
Right.
You see things differently because you're on another level.
Right.
Another plane. Not where God, imagine where God is. He sees that end.
Right.
He knows it. You're just looking into today and saying, oh my gosh. But He says, all things work together for good for those, what? Who love the Lord and are the called according to His purposes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Even when it doesn't look like it, you thought it was.
Yep.
It's the most important thing in our lives. If we don't do anything else, we trust God. Because without that, our faith is meaningless. There's no faith. Trust and faith. Two sides of the same coin. I can have faith in Pastor Robin doing something for me. But if I know He will, you know, there are things, you know, He's a man, so He can do certain things. But I know He can do certain things, so I ask Him to do it, and I trust Him. I trust that He can do that. So I have faith He'll do it, and I trust that He will do it. And it's the same thing with God. Speak His word. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Speak it the way you see it. I'm not telling you to stop that. But I am just saying to you, if it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out, don't get condemned. Don't question your faith. Just strengthen your trust in God and say, God, I will not, I will not, I will not cast away my confidence in you.
Amen.
Because I know I will see Jesus. Whether he comes in the clouds or if he doesn't come in this generation and I live to be however long I live to be, he's going to come for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
I will see Jesus. That is my hope. Everything else is nice. But the most important thing is my hope and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
I hope you still love me. Let's close in prayer. Rob, Pastor Rob, I hope you have me back again. But I'm sorry. Or not. It's okay. I love Pastor, you know. I went to Rob before because I really didn't realize we had some miscommunication before service. So, you know, I love Pastor, and I love relationship with him. So that's why if you saw us go there, I asked him to forgive me, you know, and if I offended him. But, of course, Pastor, no, because he's got that heart, you know. But anyway, because I value that relationship. I do value, you have a good pastor's heart man here, okay? No. Now I know where this church gets it. I walk in the door and I get a hug. I walk up and I get a hug. For all you that know me, for how long do you know me? I'm not a hugger. All you guys are tree huggers. I don't know what you know, whatever. Maybe I won't get used to it. See, I was always brought up that I hugged my wife and my mom and my kids because it was very special. Yeah. That's just the way this brain works. This brain works. So it has nothing to do with anybody else. Nothing with the Italian way or anything like that. It's just the way. But you guys are breaking me.
Yes.
Let's close in prayer before I get in trouble and you all come up and do a group hug.
Yeah.
No! No group hug! Back! Okay, let's close. Yeah, the back door's this way? Okay. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for clearing up things for us, Lord, through a question. And Lord, thank you for just revealing who you are, even in a greater way to us through those questions. And through everybody sharing, Lord, thank you. Because we all have a piece of it, Lord. Thank you so much for that. Thank you that you are the sovereign God. You have everything under control. You know the end from the beginning from the end. There is no God like our God, for you are worthy of it all. Who was and is to come. Always was, always will be. Ancient of days and eternity forever. And everything in between. That's who you are. We cannot understand it, so we need to stop trying to understand that and put you in a box. But Lord, we just need to trust you with all of our heart, as your scripture says, and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways turn and acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we trust you, and our trust is in you, and we pray, Lord, that we choose to allow ourselves to be trusted by you, to trust you, to do what you are doing in this hour, to do exactly what you want. Thank God you didn't listen to some of the saints in the past. Thank God you didn't listen to the disciples. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have did what he did and we wouldn't be here where we are now. Thank God that you didn't listen to some of our prayers, Lord, because who knows where that would have taken us. But you are a faithful God.
Yes.
Who is true to your word. And when we pray your word, it will. You never answer no to your word. You answer yes, but it might not be the way we think. It's the way definitely you send it forth to do. No questions asked. No doubt about it. Because you are a sovereign God. And we choose to trust you. So, Lord, I just pray for each of us here, Lord, a blessing. I say, blessed are we this day, Lord, happy and joyful and spiritually prosperous to the point of being envied by others because we are children of the Most High God. We thank you, Lord, so much for our salvation. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that needs to get into that oneness with you, that Lord, tonight, that they would in their heart just say, yes, I choose to be poor in spirit and recognize my need for you and turn towards you, God. So, Father, I thank you so much. What else can we say? We look forward to that day when we will see you. Yes. Whenever and however that will be, we just look forward to it. And we just give you all the glory and honor and blessing. Lord, one other thing, I just bless this church as well. I bless, Lord, the people here as well as the ministry and what they're doing. Lord, just bless it and let it prosper and as the thing that you send it forth to do, Lord, whatever you want to do. But we trust you in that, Lord. And we just thank you and give you all the glory for who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.